We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, we welcome in the Jets general manager, Mike Maccagnan, who's kind of been the lost guy here because everyone's piling on the Giants, so he can just kind of go about his business quietly here. So, you know, I don't even know anyone knows you had a draft this year, Mike. You can actually tell people that you did draft players. I don't think anybody in town even realized you guys did draft a player or two this year. You guys were actually there.
Yes, we did actually have the draft. We actually participated in it, and we got some players we like. So
the town can get a little noisy sometimes, as you know. So tell me, when you evaluated, what made Williams the pick over the other players you considered at the spot in the first round with the third pick?
Yeah. You know, I think, Mike, when you went through the draft this year, I mean, we felt really good at three in terms of, you know, we knew there'd be some good players available. You know, obviously you had Bosa, you had Quinnen. You know, we heard a lot of talk about Arizona focusing on a quarterback. And then as we got closer to it, you know, there was other names kind of kept popping up, but we always kind of felt they were going to go quarterback. So we figured, you know, with Bosa, Quinnen, there was Josh Allen, there's a number of really good players. In fact, you know, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got a really good player in Devin White. But there are some really good players in the top of the draft. Quinnen, in particular, we felt really good about. Obviously, he kind of burst onto the scene this year with the season he had at Alabama. I think the thing, Mike, we really felt so good about him was, obviously, you know, being a very young player, still we think has a lot of upside and potential in him. I think we just feel he really is just scratching the surface. But when you watch him this year, Mike, I don't know if you had a chance yourself to watch a little tape on him, but, you know, he obviously plays in a very, very good conference. And through the whole season, we thought he played an extremely high level.
No, he did.
It was hard to find a game he really didn't play very well in.
No, he played great. I watched him a lot. He played great. He deserved the awards he won. He's a good kid. I mean, all that. The only question is, was that your greatest need there, and how much was the fall off on a Josh Allen who may have been the player that you might have needed a little more than what Williams brings?
Yeah. You know, and I think, Mike, you've obviously been around, you know, this for a long time, kind of watching all these teams and what we do. I mean, but when you come to picking a player that high, and we use, you know, again, we're sort of a best player available approach. Now, that doesn't mean we just blindly just take the best player available and don't kind of weigh anything else into consideration. When players are either equal or close in value, you know, we feel, you know, that you can factor in need for that. But I thought...
It wasn't close between the two?
Well, no, I would say there was a lot of things. We felt there was a couple players kind of really close in terms of value at that pick. And we thought there was slight drop-off with Josh. But we liked Josh quite a bit. It wasn't like
okay.
we did not...
But he wasn't of the same value as Williams.
Yeah, so I think in which you kind of come down to it, you sort of, you know, again, you don't want to overthink it sometimes. It's, you know, if you feel very strongly about the player, you feel there's a little more, less risk in them in maybe your minds. You just go with the player you feel good about, and I think he's going to be a really good player for us. And I think the other thing too, Michael, I know everybody focuses on, you know, the edge rusher, and, you know, we're no different in that area. Like, we obviously want to, you know, obviously
right.
improve our pass rush. But the other thing is this, I think it's also, it's not taking anything away from the ability to generate pressure from the interior part of the
Well, the idea of using your tackles differently now, as teams do, and trying to get the tackles to get more penetration. I mean, you see that being the case with him?
Yeah, definitely. And I think when you go back and look at some teams that had success in the past, I know the Giants, when they had their Super Bowl run in Baltimore a few years back, I mean, they had really, really good players, you know, on the edge, but also on the interior, too. So I think when you can get, you know, kind of a combination of both, that's your perfect world, really.
All right. So, I mean, was it a no-brainer with him? I mean, did you guys have him rated as your first? I mean, was he a higher rated player than Bosa for you guys or no?
No, I think, and I don't want to kind of get into, you know, how we had him rated stack,
right.
but I would simply say, you know, we like Bosa quite a bit. We like Allen quite a bit, and we thought there were some really good players at the top of the draft when it came down to it.
Did you have White in the same grouping?
Yeah, White was pretty close. We actually think he was, a, you know, again, maybe, you know, again, a different position, but We thought he was a very good player also,
okay.
But I think the, I mean, there's some, like I said, there were some really good players at the top of the draft we felt very good about. And, but no, I think when it came down to it, I think we felt, you know, Quinnen was just a player we felt, you know, at that point in time was the best player on our board. And, you know, we felt that we was, a little bit better than some other players around him, and we felt very good about it. We thought if we, you know, again, got a player of his caliber, that he's only going to continue to grow and get better, especially at his age. And just very excited about him.
Let me ask two things that were said about you guys a million times that the fans heard. Number one, that you guys had a love for Ed Oliver. Is it true?
Yeah, we liked it. We liked Oliver quite a bit also. I mean, again, another good prospect and kind of in that mix, in that consideration.
Number two, were you looking to trade down?
You know, I think when we're sitting, I think the one thing, Mike, we didn't have, obviously we started the day off with not a lot of picks, and we did try to acquire more picks. I don't think it was necessarily we're looking to just get out of the pick. I think when you're sitting there with a pick you think is pretty valuable, and there were some teams talking about maybe coming up to our pick. We did have conversations with teams, but it wasn't that we're trying to get out of the pick. I think what you try to do, Mike, in these situations is you try to sort of put everything on the table and try to figure out what is the best course of action for the team, whether it's to stay
there.
Did
you have opportunities to get out of the pick if you wanted to?
You know, I think when all was said and done, we had a few calls or a couple teams that called, but there were not really deals that we felt. Basically, there were deals when you went through the trade chart and the valuation process. They weren't really deals that made us feel we wanted to move off the pick. So we decided, we felt very comfortable at that point in time when, something really didn't present itself of, kind of a value to make us want to move. We felt very good about just taking the player and moving forward.
All right, we're talking with Mike Maccagnan. They picked, obviously, Quinnen Williams with the third pick, the Alabama star. You didn't pick again then until the 68th player. I was driving somewhere. I don't remember where I was going, but there was a thing that came out just as the second round started that said the Jets were feverishly trying to get to the top. It was a report at one of the networks that Jets were trying to feverishly try to get to the top of the second round. Was there any truth to that?
Well, I think when we're sitting there, so as the first, the first round went through, and I think a lot of times, Mike, what happens, and again, you've been around and probably
and then you reassess everything
time.
And you see what's there.
And it's funny. There's this little thing that happens a lot of times when you have a night to sleep on it. So when the draft is, we've spread the draft out over 3 days. So a lot of times, teams sit back. They sort of, hey, let the dust settle.
It's absolutely.
Funny. There's not as much. There always tends to be trading, sort of in different spots of the draft. So there's really not a lot of times, as the first round's wrapping up, there's a few teams try to jump into the end of the first round. In some cases, for example, with Baltimore last year, they jump up to get Lamar Jackson. And the key to that is not only getting maybe a player you like, but it's also the ability to have the four-year contract with a fifth-year option. So you lock in, especially if you're taking a quarterback, you lock him in for a longer period of time.
Sure.
So, as this one kind of wound down, I know the Giants jumped back in to get the corner that they obviously liked from Georgia. And so, anyway, the first round ends. We sit down, go like every other team. We sit there and look at what's on the board. We knew, and one of the things we were initially intrigued by about moving back out of the third pick was we felt very strongly there was some really good depth and value at the top half of the second round. And like a lot of teams, we didn't have a second round pick. We had given that up in the Sam Darnold trade, which we feel very good about. We feel very good. We have a very good young quarterback. We feel has a lot of potential. And that's
it
our
sure focus does.
So we felt good about having given up the second round pick. But like everything else, you go back in, you look to see if you have the ammunition. If you can try to get up there, you want to make sure that you're paying what you believe is fair value.
Well, was there a player you coveted up there?
I think there was a few players we thought, and I don't really want to name names.
You don't have to, but was there a player you coveted? That's all.
A few players up there we felt good about.
So the report was accurate. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think sometimes what happens a little bit is you start calling teams and start inquiring about possible trade scenarios, and in this business, for whatever reason, sometimes that may slip out or leak out.
Yeah, well, good. Well, I'd give the guy credit right now if I can remember who reported it. I don't remember who reported it, but somebody did right feverishly at the top of the second round, but it didn't happen. Okay,
now feverishly, I may not say feverishly. We were just because I think it's like this. You look,
but there was a guy you liked. Okay,
yeah.
Can you tell me what position he played?
Again, Mike,
not even his position. Was he offense or defense?
Actually, there are players on both sides of the ball.
Okay.
So we thought there were some good players. You know, I think really what it is, Mike, what you do.
I got
to
figure
time,
he was either an edge guy or an offensive tackle. I would figure one or the other, right?
There were some good players. Like, I think there were some good players at both those positions. Okay. I think there were some good players, you know, obviously in the secondary too. So it's one of those things, I think, Mike, you look at it and again, you try to figure out ways you can help the team and without, you know, again, for proper value. But again, it also takes teams that want to move out of those picks and in some cases move fairly significantly back. I think sometimes having ammunition.
Let me ask this question, Mike.
It's easier to move up and around.
We're talking about Mike McKagan. Let me ask this question. Has the fact that the second round and the first round stands alone now and the second round is on the second day, has it changed the way people attack the top of the second round?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I definitely think so.
I think it has too. So that's all.
I think it's interesting. It's the same thing. It's funny because we had a pick high in the fourth round, and the same thing happened in the fourth round. And that historically has always been the case. Like the top of the fourth round is always like after everybody sleeps on the second and third round, they come back, and everybody just starts like. And I think a lot of teams, what they do is they look at their boards.
Right.
They're sitting there, and they suddenly realize, okay, like who do we really like? And of course, that list historically will probably not be a very, very big list, but there'll be guys in there. And then a lot of teams try to like get up and go target certain players. And then they start realizing, because really after three rounds, you take 90 some players off the board, your board starts thinning out. So people start realizing, okay, like all these extra picks, if this board gets thin, I may not necessarily have a lot of, you know, maybe again, there'd be prospects you like, but there's more risk there later in the draft. So what you do is you package picks and go chase guys. And the other interesting thing, Mike, I think you probably really know this, but I don't know if some of the fans, but you know, different teams take different strategies. Some teams like to move back and just get a lot of picks, and then they may aggressively turn around and try to package them to move back up. Other teams just like, hey, we like quantity over, more quantity, more shots, opportunities, depending where they may see the draft, how deep it is. But I think a lot of things, I will say this, I think a lot of teams now, just talking to some of my peers and friends that are other GMs, a lot of teams really attack the draft. They go into the draft with like certain guys and pockets of players, and they aggressively throw picks in. You see a lot of future picks go flying around. Definitely go aggressively try to attack back into the other rounds and maybe try to come out with a key group of players. Maybe not as many. You know, maybe they start with a lot of picks and end up with a few picks, but there's just different ways people sort of, this has all evolved now that people try to attack the draft.
All right, let's touch on these other guys, Mike, real quick. The kid out of Florida taking 68th in the third round, a linebacker. Mm-hmm. All right, what did you like about him?
Well, you know, when he obviously he's a junior, it was polite, came out.
Yep.
When we first started doing work on him, obviously we felt very, you know, we liked a lot of things about him on tape. He was obviously a very productive player in a very good conference, coming off the edge and played against some obviously very good players and tackles that had a lot of production, not only as a pass rusher but also causing fumbles. So when we went through our process with him, I mean, we liked him from, you know, our initial exposure on him on the tape. I think like some players, and this has happened in the past, where they go in and maybe they don't have quite a good of a spring in terms of testing and timing, and some of it can do to, you know, sometimes guys gain weight to try to, you know, be ready for the combine workout. Some guys, may have injuries, stuff like that. He maybe didn't have the spring he ideally wanted, but we really, you know, we saw some things in him. We did quite a bit of research on him. Like a lot of players, there's risk in any player you draft at any point in time in the draft. But we thought there was a lot of potential in him too, and we were kind of excited about the opportunity to kind of get him where we got him. We think he has a lot of upside and potential as an edge rusher, and we think he can kind of potentially fit well with what we have. And like a lot of things, we're trying to create an environment, a situation for him where we can hopefully help him fulfill his potential, and that's going to be our main focus.
And how about Adoga?
And Adoga was another one that was interesting too, because I think it's funny. Every year I've been in the league, I always kind of feel the league as a whole, we draft much more. I think we draft much more accurately. I think than in years past, and there's more efficiency in how we draft. So as we went through that process, you know, he's another player that we had liked. We actually, got a chance to see him both in college. Some of our players like Sam have history with him. We did a lot of work on him also, and we liked him. You know, really, I think he was a guy that we always liked. as a potential tackle, even though he doesn't have ideal height, but we also felt he had the ability to kind of swing inside the guard if possible, you know, potentially too. But the thing with him I thought we really liked was just his overall athletic ability and feet. He's a little bit like Kelvin Beachum in a sense that he's not an exceptionally tall tackle, but he has very, very good length. And I think that really helps him to compensate for that. But more importantly, especially going through the film evaluation in the fall, but also when we got a chance to see him up close at the Senior Bowl, watch his ability to kind of play left tackle. We studied the ability, you know, from an athletic standpoint to be a very good, and he was a very good pass blocker in college, and we're kind of excited about having him come in here and compete for one of our tackle spots. And you know, eventually we thought he had the physical ability.
And he probably knew your quarterback, right? He knows your quarterback
Had a history with Sam, and right. Obviously played with him. So, but no, he was the guy late in the third round, we were sitting there and, kind of felt good about the opportunity when he kind of came available. And,
All right. Wesco, the tight end out of West Virginia.
Yeah, so he's a kid that now we view him as a obviously a tight end, and but we refer to him as kind of our Y tight end, which a lot of teams have their Y tight end is usually the tight end that's attached to the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
As you're aware, Mike, and we call him our not necessarily just a blocking tight end, but a tight end that can actually come in there and be on the line of scrimmage blocker.
Right.
We thought it's interesting. He played in a college offense that really didn't feature or utilize a tight end. So he obviously aligns in the backfield more as a fullback at times, an H-back. So he's asked to do a lot of athletic-type blocks. And, of course, being almost 270 pounds, he was a guy that, as we went through our process, a guy that our scouts kind of identified early in the process they liked. We actually went down and went to his pro day, had a private workout with our coach, our tight ends coach with him, and brought him he was one of our 30 visits. We spent a day with him here in New York and liked him quite a bit. He's a big athletic tight end. He is actually a pretty good receiver too, so he's not just a one-dimensional player. But in that offense, obviously, they didn't really feature the tight end a lot, but he still managed to catch some balls and did some good things in that area. But he's a guy that we liked, and I think it was one of those situations where we're sitting there in the fourth round. I know everybody, kind of looks at, hey, where are your needs and stuff like that, but we felt from a value standpoint when we were going to make the pick, he was, better than the players around him, and it was, in a situation where we felt good about him and what he would bring to the table for a fourth-round value. We think he has a chance to develop into a starting Y tight end for us, so we're kind of excited about that, and he reminds me a little bit of, it's funny, we went through pro free agency and, watched Nick Boyle from Baltimore, who out of Delaware. And we thought there were some similarities to a player like him who obviously, has done a good job for Baltimore.
All right, and then you got Cashman out of Minnesota, and then you took the cornerback who's, a little bit of a roll of the dice. But let's take Cashman first.
Yeah, so Cashman was a player that, as we kind of got into the fifth round, we were looking at, I think really in that point in time, you're kind of looking for players that you think can obviously, have a chance to come in and contribute. He was a player that... was very, very athletic, tested very well at the combine. We watched him on tape. He was a, great guy from a tangible standpoint, was a very good special teams player for him also. It was a guy that, we liked him as a player. It was probably just at that point in time in the draft, it was a guy we thought, had good value. We thought he was a, good chance to come in and be competitive.
Solid athlete who can play special teams.
Yeah. And okay. And sometimes, when you try to focus on players you do think have upside and potential, but, when you get into, those situations, you're obviously trying to find guys that you like as both scouts and coaches, and he was a guy we felt good about. And then
gotcha.
Austin was in the sixth round. Now the sixth round pick was our last pick.
Right.
There was times we were trying to see if we could move back a little bit and, acquire extra picks, but that was pretty much where we really didn't have an opportunity to move out of the pick. And he was a player that, there's obviously risk with him. His risk is more from an injury standpoint,
right.
But when he did play early in his career, and we were aware of him, obviously being close, in our backyard here at Rutgers, and we followed him a little bit, obviously, in both 17 and then the brief time he played in 18, and, he's still, in the process of recovering from his most recent injury, but we did a lot of work on him, not from our scouts, but also our coaches, and then we involved the doctors a little bit, too, in terms of their evaluation of him, and we felt, there's a risk there, but we felt good about, for his potential and upside, it was, a bit of a risk or gamble, but we felt that it was one we felt good about taking. And if he does come back to some of his previous form and obviously right now it seems like we feel good he has a chance to do that, you know, maybe get a player that has a, you know, a little bit higher ceiling than some of the other players we were looking at in that round. And of course we acknowledge the risk, but we also like the player, and if he can retain some of his previous form, you know, maybe have a chance to come in there and be a big physical corner that can kind of help us from a coverage standpoint.
I'm talking about Mike Maccagnan, the Jets general manager. All right, after that, you go into that crazy hour of free agency where you go out and you give $20,000, $25,000, $15,000, $20,000. You got the guys earmarked who, at the end, want to be free agents. They don't want to get selected. They think they can do better this way. They have guys brokering deals for them. How many guys did you land on?
Oh, I think our exact number is about 17.
17, wow. How many did you give money to?
You know, it's interesting. We gave money to quite a few of them, but okay. I don't know if we were – I mean, I think it's – the one thing, it's when the fans kind of look at the college free agency, you know, it's interesting. The signing bonus, the amount of money you can give in signing bonus is capped. So I think it's like $109,000 total this year. So the signing bonuses, you know, in some cases they get kind of competitive in the $20,000 to $25,000.
Right, yeah, that's a big one, $25,000 for those guys.
Oh, yeah, because it eats up a lot of your space. But the little trick a lot of what a lot of teams do now, and this has been sort of a trend recently, is they actually we guarantee part of the paragraph five, which is their base salary that's paid out to them over the course of the season.
Yep.
And then some of those we found, and it's every year it's been more aggressive, more competitive, and some of those were, you know, some players, and again, we'll see what the final numbers are, but we were chasing players that were in the, you know, 75 to 100,000 to 125,000 range.
And, gotcha.
I don't know if we've had, you know, we were pretty aggressive on some of the paragraph five guarantees, but we got some good little players in the group.
What's in the, how many people are you allowed to bring to camp to start this year?
90.
Okay.
But we actually have one. Actually, we're going to technically be 91 because we do have one of the international practice roster players, Australian rugby player that we got in. We're kind of will be a running back for us, and kind of excited about him.
All right, so you're ready to rock and roll. Let me ask you, there was this report about you having trouble with your owner or having trouble that was... Now, Mike Lombardi is known to spread a lot of nonsense and also to have an agenda sometimes, but anything going on that we need to know about?
No. I think we're you know, we had a long spring, and we're very excited about our free agents we had. I've, you know, worked very well with Adam through this whole process, and, you know, excited about working with him going forward. So
no issues, nothing. Everybody's on the same page with the Jets right now.
You know, again, Mike, I'm not. You know, I don't like to respond to stuff in the media, but like I said, we feel good about our off season at this point in time, and it's not over yet.
Hey, this guy said you were on thin ice. That's why I brought it up. He said you were on thin ice.
Yeah. Again, Mike, I'm not gonna. You know, I don't like to sit here and comment on my job and my job status and situation or stuff in the media. So,
how's stuff going with the coach?
Very good. Very good. I really like Adam. You know, they're out there in the field, and I think he's been involved with this whole process, both pro and college, and him and his staff, and it's been a very good experience.
How's the defensive coordinator doing? He can be a handful. How's he doing?
I think Greg has been outstanding so far, and
okay,
I'm very
good.
Excited. You know, it's funny, even like going out to practice and just kind of like being around him and his staff and, you know, kind of the energy and the tempo. And
Did you know him?
Greg personally?
Yes.
Before? No.
I just wonder because now you know that guy has a reputation for being kind of a crazy guy and wild guy and everything. Did that worry you at all when you guys went to hire him? Well, no.
Well, in the end, it was obviously Adam is in charge of all hiring all the coaches. But I think the one thing with Greg is all my brief time I've been around him, I've been very impressed with him. Not only, you know, I think he's a very cerebral person.
He definitely knows football. There's no question. Yes.
And he also, I think when you're around him, he definitely has a very good idea of, like, you know, how he wants to run things, you know, kind of the culture, the chemistry of the defense. So, again, everything I've been seeing with Greg so far, I've been very excited about, and I'm really excited when we eventually get the pads on to get out there and start practicing. But you know, so far it's really been, you know, quite enjoyable going out and watching those guys work on defense.
All right, thanks very much. Good luck. Thanks, Mike, very much. Appreciate it.
All right, anytime, Mike.
Mike Maccagnan, the general manager of the Jets.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.